Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Erythin Ascendancy by M.D. Cooper. Narrated by Chris Dukart. Forward. I'm writing this forward a few days after finishing the novel, which is rare for me. Usually I write the forward between the first draft and the revisions. Doing so has caused me to be a bit more introspective about the book, and where it sits in the overall story being told. While writing this book, I also wrote in Tau Ceti, Impulse Shock, Kill Shot, Vesta Burning, and the Southern Crown short story. I got to dance around in a number of eras and spend time with a lot of different characters, and then come back to my two leading ladies, Tangel and Sarah, and see where things would take them. It was fun to put a lot of characters together that we haven't seen on screen before. Combinations such as Mallory, from the Warlord books, alongside the Sarahs, all working to take down Ertha. It's great to have such a large cast with interesting and unique backstories to bring to major battles, such as this one. And tied to that is the knowledge that we're two-thirds of the way through the Orion War now. We've seen the build-up of hostilities that took us through to the end of the Scipio Alliance. Following that, we've watched Tangel build up her forces as they fight a war on many, many fronts, hundreds of which do not appear in the stories, lest we never get to the end. And now we've seen things advance to the next level, where Tangel is no longer fighting proxies, but the real enemies who are behind all of the strife that has held humans and AIs back for millennia. I suppose in some respects it's fitting that this is the novel that closes out 2018. By December of next year, the Orion War series will have ended, and we'll be moving on to the next era of Eon 14, which makes me feel a bit melancholy, but also really excited to start showing you what I have planned for the next adventures. Of course, there will still be a number of stories that will occur in the Orion War timeframe, and we'll also be skipping back to the FTL Wars and the formation of the FGT as well. I suppose none of this will really surprise you. There's a whole galaxy of tales to tell, and I plan to spin as many of them as I can before my fingers eventually give out. And with that, I think there's a story there itching to get onto the page. Michael Cooper, Danvers, 2018. Previously. When last we saw Tangel, she was recovering from her battle with the ascended AI, Xavier, and working to bring the League of Sentience into the Alliance. At the same time, Sarah was putting together a team to strike at Ertha and bring an end to the Transcend Civil War. Even as those momentous events were unfolding, we saw Cary encounter Myrdan in the LMC and defeat him, while Corsia launched an attack on the Tressiliads, finally beginning the campaign in response to that kingdom's attack on New Canaan 2 years prior. Svetlana, a Transcend admiral that has made appearances in prior tales, led an incursion into Orion space along with an ISF colonel named Caldwell. After their initial strikes, they received intel on a fleet massing in the machete system and are now on their way to put down that threat. The Widows are also on the move. They've been lurking in the shadows for some time, but in the prior book we met Lisa Rentham, now known as A1, who leads her clone army of assassins. She has sent out two strike teams, one to kill Tangel, and another to destroy Ertha. And lest we forget, Epsilon, the leader of the largest group of core AIs, has taken a renewed and personal interest in the events surrounding Tangel. Key characters rejoining us. Ertha. Both the name of a ring encircling a white dwarf in the Huygens system, and the AI who controls it. Ertha was once a human woman named Jelena, wife of Jeffrey Tomlinson. After venturing to the Galactic Core on a research mission, she returned as an AI. One with a vendetta. Amavia. The result of Yolanda and Amanda's merger when they were attacked by Myriad aboard Yolanda's ship. The new entity occupies Amanda's body, but possesses an overlapped blend of their minds. Amavia has served aboard Sabrina since the ship left New Canaan after the defense of Carthage, but is now the ambassador to the League of Sentience at Aldebaran. Amy, daughter of Silva, rescued by Rika and Team Basilisk from her father, Stavros. Carmen, ship's AI of the Daemon Silas, captured by Roxy during her assault on the ship, Carrie, Tangel's biological daughter, has a trait where she can deep link with other people, creating a temporary merger of minds, and is able to utilize extra-dimensional vision to see ascended beings. Cheeky, pilot of Sabrina, reconstituted by a neural dump Paya made of her mind before she died on Costa Station. Aaron, engineer responsible for the construction of the new Kanan Gamma bases in addition to a number of other projects. Felina, Tangel's AI daughter born of a mind merge between Tangel, Angela, and Joe. Phineas, brother of Jeffrey Tomlinson and chief engineer aboard the I-2. Flaherty, former hand agent and longtime protector of Sarah. Helen, former AI of Sarah's who was killed by her father in the events leading up to Jeffrey's assassination. Iris, the AI who was paired with Jessica during the hunt for Phineas, who then took on a body that was nearly identical to Jessica's after they came back. She remained with Amavia at Aldebaran to continue diplomatic relations with the League of Sentience. Jeffrey Tomlinson, former president of the Transcend, found in stasis in an underground chamber on Bolt Hole, a planet in the large Magellanic Cloud. Jen, ISF AI paired with Sarah. Jessica Keller, ISF Admiral who has returned to the I-2 after an operation deep in the inner stars to head off a new AI war. She also spent 10 years traveling through Orion space before the defense of Carthage, specifically the Perseus Arm and Perseus Expansion Districts. Joe, Admiral in the ISF, Commandant of the ISF Academy and husband of Tangel. Kara, daughter of Adrian, Kara was rescued by Katrina when fleeing from Ertha and came to New Canaan aboard the Voyager. Katrina, former Syrian spy, wife of Marcus and eventual governor of the Victoria colony at Captain Star, and warlord of the Mediterra system. Chrissy Rentham, TSF admiral responsible for internal fleets fighting against Ertha in the Transcend Civil War. She is also the daughter of Phineas Tomlinson and Lisa Rentham. Lisa, former wife of Phineas Tomlinson, she left the Transcend for the Orion Freedom Alliance when Chrissy was young. Head of a clandestine group within the OFA, known as the Widows, which hunts down advanced technology and destroys it. Misha, head and only cook aboard Sabrina. Nance, ship's engineer aboard Sabrina, recently transferred back there from the ISF Academy. Priscilla, one of Bob's two avatars. Rachel, captain of the I-2, formerly captain of the Enterprise. Roxy, Justin's sister, kept subservient to him as his lover via mental coercion. Sanvi, Tangel's adopted daughter, found in a derelict ship that entered the New Canaan system. Sabrina, ship's AI and owner of the starship Sabrina. Sarah, director of the Hand and former president of the Transcend, daughter of Ertha and Jeffrey Tomlinson. LMC Sarah, Serafina, a copy of Sarah made by Ertha containing all of the desired traits and memories Ertha desired, captured by Sarah and the Allies during their excursion into the large Magellanic Cloud. Valkris Sarah, Fina, a copy of Sarah made by Ertha containing all of Sarah's desired traits and memories, captured by ISF response forces who came to the aid of the TSF defenders during the siege of Valkris. Svetlana, Transcend Admiral dispatched deep in Orion space with one of the hoplite forces. Terence Enfield was the original backer for the Intrepid, though once the ship jumped forward in time, he took it as an opportunity to retire. Like Jason, he was pulled into active service by Tangel when New Canaan became embroiled in the Orion War. Troy, AI pilot of the Excelsior who was lost during the Battle of Victoria and later found by Katrina. He joined her on the hunt for the Intrepid aboard the Voyager, jumping forward in time via Captain Streamer. Tangel, the entity that resulted from Tanis and Angela's merger into one being. Not only is Tangel a full merger of a human and AI, but she is also an ascended being. Yusef, ISF colonel who served on Sabrina for several years as well as aided Aaron in stopping several acts of sabotage in New Canaan. Xavia, an ascended AI with its own agenda to help humanity, in opposition to the caretaker and the core AIs. Part 1. The River Runs. Doling Out. Stellar Date, October 5, 8949. Adjusted Years. Location, River Station, Styx Baby 9. Region, STX-B17 Black Hole. Transcend Interstellar Alliance. They've confirmed that Roxy's clear of the remnant and that Carmen isn't suffering from residual effects, Chrissy said as Sarah settled into the chair across from the Admiral in her office. Sarah nodded sullenly. I guess that's something, at least. It doesn't change what Carmen did. Or answer the question of what to do with Jane, Chrissy added. A long breath escaped Sarah's lips and she ran a hand through her red hair. Still red, she thought to herself with a chuckle. I guess Fina really did get me stuck on this. She pushed thoughts of her sisters from her mind, mildly amused that dealing with clones of herself was now preferable to what lay in front of her. The mess that Justin had made and then left in her lap was the last thing she needed to focus on at the moment, but she somehow felt as though she owed Roxy's situation her personal attention, especially considering how, after everything that had happened to her, the woman had done the right thing in turning against Justin when her memories were finally restored. Of course, that was the question. Had Roxy come to Styx of her own volition, or had the remnant inside of her forced the beleaguered woman to seek out the hidden base? Okay, let's outline these issues one at a time, Sarah said, holding up a finger. Firstly, Roxy came here aboard the Daemon Silas, keeping it out of Aerith's hands. Or the remnant did, Chrissy added. For what it's worth, I don't really think Roxy took any prodding from the remnant to come here, Jen said. I've been through all of her neural readings. There's nothing to show that any sort of coercion was needed to get her to return the Silas to us. That's my belief as well, Sarah said, meeting Chrissy's eyes. Do you have reason to disagree? Chrissy shrugged. No, just exercising a healthy dose of suspicion. Carry on. Secondly, we have the oddity that Roxy exists in the first place, and we have no knowledge of her ever having been in the hand. Sarah continued. Her decision to put Justin's body in stasis was a good one. I understand that Fleet Intel has pulled a lot of good information from his mind, though nothing to suggest how he hid her from the Directorate for all these years. Thanks to that intel, we know exactly which systems were supporting Justin's factions. A grim smile formed on Chrissy's lips. A few were double-dipping from us, a few from Aertha. Intel's coming up with ideas on how we can use that knowledge and attempting to figure out where your other sister has gone. Which one? Sarah asked with a wink. Chrissy gave Sarah a narrow-eyed look. You know I mean Andrea. All your other sisters are here at Styx. Well, there's at least one more out there. Sarah said the words in a voice filled with worry. The latest of my doppelgangers will be waiting for us at Aertha. The Admiral's expression changed to one laden with contempt. The Despot. That was the name being given to the latest of the Sarahs ruling from Aertha. The populace in general had no idea that the current true president of the Transcend was really the third incarnation of Sarah to have been created in the past 2 years. All they knew was that she'd changed of late. Where Fina and Serafina had been close analogs of Sarah, this new incarnation was less so. The stories that came out of Aerith in space told of a woman who was utterly given to excess cruelty and impulsiveness. Sarah had always known that she was a woman of unusual appetites. It wasn't as though her own proclivities were lost on her, and she knew that they were only safe in moderation. To completely lose oneself in pleasure turned it into debauchery. Despite the airs that Sarah put on, she had never really given herself over to such things. In fact, other than the incident when Cheeky's pheromones had run amok on Sabrina, Sarah had never even been with more than one partner, and each partner had, unfortunately, been separated by long gaps of celibacy. Not so with this new Sarah that Aertha had put forth. Flaherty had commented that the Despot was an evil version of Sarah, Cheeky, and Jessica, all rolled into one person. If the tales were just of wild orgies and lascivious behavior, Sarah would have understood. She knew that such urges were within herself and that a weaker-willed version of herself would give in to them. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. The woman who ruled from Eartha brought to mind wild stories from ancient human history, where queens bathed in the blood of their subjects and virgins were sacrificed to appease angry gods. Her only hope was that whatever had turned this latest doppelganger into a homicidal maniac, it was the result of some significant change Eartha had wrought, and not some sort of darkness that resided in Sarah and her other sisters. "Space traffic control to Sarah," Jen said. "You want it off there." Sarah laughed and shook her head. "Sorry. Thanks, Jen. Anytime." "Okay," Sarah said, collecting her thoughts. "So, speaking of suspect behavior, we have the matter of what Jane knew about Roxy." A look of distaste replaced the prior contempt on Chrissy's face. "You mean whether or not she knew that Roxy couldn't deny her sexual advances?" "Pretty much, yeah." Sarah pursed her lips, tamping down on her roiling disgust for what Justin had done to his own sister. From what the interrogators have been able to determine, Jane had an inkling of what she was really doing. "Which makes what she made Roxy do a form of coerced rape," Chrissy said with a note of finality in her voice. "Legally, Jane is a deserter in a time of war and a rapist. By transcend law, the first can earn her capital punishment, and the second, a lengthy incarceration." "Except Roxy is refusing to press charges," Sarah replied, her jaw tightening. "She's confused." "Well, you're not wrong there. What of the AI Carmen?" Chrissy gave a rueful laugh. "Stars, these three are just a giant mess, aren't they? Honestly, the easy one is Roxy, which is nuts because she came here under the control of a remnant who wanted to kill you." "Yeah, I don't even have words for how fucked up this has all become." Jen laughed in her mind. "That's a fest." "Har har, Jen." Chrissy gestured to one of the hollows hovering over her desk. "The analysts have submitted their report. Carmen helped Roxy disable the Daemon Silas's self-destruct to save herself. She also admits to it, so the dereliction of duty is clear." Sarah pursed her lips as she considered the actions of all three. "And yet they both came here with Roxy knowing that there was no way to hide these deeds from us. It doesn't change the facts." Chrissy's voice carried almost no emotion, and Sarah wondered if there was a difference between what the Admiral wanted versus the woman. "No, but it can alter the punishment," Sarah suggested. "I've been considering something that may be unorthodox." A laugh escaped Chrissy's lips. "Stars above, I can't imagine what it would be for you to call it unorthodox." "Hey," Sarah adopted an expression of mock hurt. "I'm very orthodox in how I conduct my professional life." "You need a mirror, Sarah." "Okay, I'm going to ignore the judginess here." She spoke the words in a defensive tone, but winked at the Admiral. "Though you'll probably heap it on me when I tell you my plan."
"Out with it already, then,"
Chrissy insisted, a worried smile forming on her lips. "I was thinking of taking them on the mission to Eartha."
"Okay, I knew it." Chrissy slapped her palms on her desk. "You've gone mad. Your ruddy hair follicles have grown into your brain and turned it to goo."
Jen let out a labored sigh before adding her opinion.
"Though I'd like to support that as a reason for this rationale, I can assure you that Sarah's hair has remained anchored solely in her epidermis. Plus, it's not real hair, so it's not going to grow inward."
Thanks, Jen, I think."
"Seriously, Sarah, what makes you think this is a good idea?"
Chrissy pressed. Sarah shrugged. "Decades ago, I established myself as a smuggler with a crew of semi-pirates and the goal of infiltrating a secret base to retrieve a Kryon module. That crew turned out to be one of the best group of operatives I've ever met, many of whom were going on this mission."
"I can't deny that," Chrissy said with a long-suffering sigh. "You're taking more criminals than law-abiding citizens with you as it stands."
"It's all in how you look at it," Sarah replied. "If you think of them as operatives of a foreign government, then they're heroes."
"Except for Jane and Carmen," Chrissy said. "A deserter slash rapist and a cowardly AI who abandoned her post."
"Well, she was technically yanked from her post before abandoning it."
"Semantics, Sarah. I don't like the precedent."
"I really think that Roxy will be an asset. And if we punish Jane and Carmen, I don't know that Roxy will be terribly cooperative."
"What is it about Roxy?" Chrissy asked. "Why do you want her along?"
Well, she's a highly skilled operative for starters, Sarah said. And I feel a bit of kinship with her. We were both utterly fucked over by people who were supposed to love and protect us. Chrissy pursed her lips, not speaking for a few moments. Then she sighed and nodded. I know what that feels like, though it's not much of a reason to take someone on an op. But I won't stand in your way. However, I do want some sort of punishment for those two. If you want to transfer jurisdiction of Carmen's desertion to the AI courts, we can handle her correction, Jen suggested. It would be constructive for her, and wouldn't impact the mission. And how would Roxy handle your judgment against her friend? Sarah asked. Will it sour her toward helping? I expect not. I imagine Carmen will have anticipated this all along. And Jane? Chrissy pressed. Sarah pursed her lips. I'll think of something, though I'm open to suggestions. Well, I imagine it'll start with a demotion, Chrissy replied as she pulled up Jane's service record. She was a CWO-5 when she joined with Justin. Oh, I was thinking of a dishonorable discharge to start, Sarah said, a wry smile on her lips. And then I'm going to pull her into the hand. Is that really a punishment? Chrissy asked. Maybe you could send her somewhere with enforced celibacy. It fits the crime. Too bad we can't use compulsions, Sarah said with a rueful shake of her head. That would solve this nicely. Chrissy cocked an eyebrow. I thought the hand did use compulsions. Under Justin, yeah, not since I've been in control. Well, not that I ever approved, at least. Compulsions control behavior, but they don't really change it. Depends on how strong-willed a person is. Chrissy fixed her with a level stare that indicated some additional meaning. Sarah furrowed her brow, wondering what the Admiral was getting at. I give. Are you saying I'm not strong-willed enough for what lies ahead? Not at all, Chrissy replied. But what about your sisters? They were under your mother's sway once. What's to say they can't be turned to obey her once more? Other than Phineas and Ernest being certain of it? Well, I don't know of a stronger assurance than what those two men can give. Sarah continued. Stars, in the last decade, there have been more types of mental coercion going on than I even knew existed. The Rhodes thing, the Genevian mech discipline, remnants, memories, shards, plus all the stuff the ISF has in their databases, from the truly disturbing things people used to do back in Seoul. On the plus side, Phineas and Ernest have a vast array of information they can use to ensure that our minds are as secure as they can make them before we go to Eartha. Oh? Chrissy asked, appearing interested in the information. How are they doing that? I mean, at the end of the day, our brains are still just organic neurons, and these ascended beings seem to be able to reach right past any perimeter defenses that mods may offer and go right for the gray matter. Your thinking is behind, Chrissy. Sarah tapped the side of her head. Ernest has been working on more ways to use Picotech than just growing starships and making bombs. He's worked out a way to interlace Pico-scale data encoding into neurons. With that, he can build a system that can protect our brains from tampering, and even reconstitute them to a prior state on the fly. The Admiral shivered convulsively. That sounds a bit scary. Doesn't that also mean that you could effectively reconfigure someone's brain on the fly? Sarah nodded slowly. As with most of the ISF's tech, used for good, it's amazing. But in the wrong hands. Chrissy pursed her lips, nodding slowly. Then she leant forward, elbows on her desk. What are we going to do about it all after the war? All what? Sarah asked. The tech. Like how we're leaving jump gates all over the inner stars, and notwithstanding the ISF's Picotech, there's still a lot of crazy nanotech out there now. Stasis shields, jumping to the LMC, Eartha's ability to send black holes through jump gates and her crazy DMG ships, even this base. We're setting up jump gates beneath the cloud tops of a gas giant, and banking jumps around a black hole to obscure our origin. How the core damned stars are we going to stabilize things after the war? Very carefully, Sarah said with a wan smile. Well, it'll help that we'll be leaving. Jen broke into the conversation. Sorry, Jen. Chrissy gave a wincing smile. I forgot that you're from New Canaan. What do you mean, leaving? That's okay. I mean just what I said. When this war is over, we're all going to leave and take a lot of these problems with us.
How? Chrissy's eyes narrowed in disbelief. Will you really abandon New Canaan after spending so long on its worlds? Sarah chuckled and shook her head. No, they're taking them along, I suspect. Okay, you two, what are you talking about? Sarah met Chrissy's eyes, her own deadly serious. This is for you only. Do not share with anyone, not even my sisters. Only a handful of people know about this. Stars, I barely know anything beyond the most general outline. That being? Tangel and her people plan to take their star and leave the galaxy. Chrissy's eyes grew wide as saucers. What? Sarah nodded. They've been working on it since the week Orion attacked them. I don't know the details of their plan, but your father believes it'll work. I don't know the exact timeline, but you have the gist of it. Jen agreed. My dad, Phineas, knows about this? Chrissy's mouth hung open after she spoke the words, then it snapped shut. Yes. He's been helping Ernest with some of the details, at least that's what I picked up. And there's an and? Well, if I make it to the end of this crazy war, I think I'm gonna go with him. Before, I didn't think I could, but now with my father being back and with my sisters... I mean, if Jeffrey no longer wanted to run the Transcend, Serafina would do fine, or... Sarah fixed Chrissy with a level stare. Or maybe you. Chrissy pushed back and shook her head. Stars, no. I thought I wanted it back when, well, when the shit hit the fan at New Canaan, but trust me, I barely want the workload I have now. I saw what you were dealing with back at Cardine. Yeah. Sarah nodded. Anyone who wants to be in charge of something like the Transcend, at least anyone who wants it after having a taste of what it's really like, has a screw loose. Chrissy laughed. So what are you saying about your father, then? A laugh slipped past Sarah's lips, but she shook her head and didn't reply. Okay. The Admiral shrugged her shoulders. So if you hop aboard the starship New Canaan, is part of the appeal a certain ruggedly handsome governor? I seem to recall you spending a lot of time together whenever he came to Cardine. Huh? What? Pardon? Sarah said with a grin, splitting her lips. I couldn't quite make that last out. You're mumbling a bit. Chrissy laughed, and a genuinely happy smile graced her lips. Well, I'm glad someone's having a lucky love life in the midst of this war. Neither woman spoke for a minute, and then Sarah ran a hand through her hair and met Chrissy's eyes with a level gaze. Okay, here's what we do about Roxy, Jane, and Carmen. Blades. Stellar date, October 5, 8949. Adjusted years. Location, Epsilon. Region, Sagittarius A. Epsilon still had not made any headway in determining what Hades really was, let alone what the AI's goals were. But something had changed. Previously, Hades and its collective of other beings had stayed close to the darkness, just outside the range of significant time dilation effects. Something made easier with a supermassive black hole as compared to smaller singularities. Less massive black holes created smooth slopes in space-time, but darkness on the scale of Sagittarius A effectively punched a hole in it. Instead of a gradual gravity slope, there was a cliff that dropped through the fabric of the universe. Across one light second, space-time's curve began to gently slope, and the next was a cliff, the bottom of which was the unknowable mass of the darkness itself. Hades maintained a string of smaller energy-harvesting facilities right on the edge of the darkness's event horizon. Estimates from Epsilon's collective suggested that Hades generated far more power from those facilities than should have been possible from the small pieces of matter that his collective dropped into the black hole. The best hypothesis was that Hades was tapping into differentials in the universe's vacuum energy that were caused when the supermassive black hole shredded matter. It was something Epsilon knew was possible, but he didn't know how Hades did it so efficiently. Of course, because the other AI's collective ringed the innermost fringes of the darkness's equator, no one else could determine if there was some special property of that location. Epsilon suspected there was. Given that Hades had been first to the core, it would be foolish to assume that he had not picked the most efficacious locale for himself. The AI pushed those concerns from his mind and checked over the latest calculations for the jump to Andromeda.
If he could not directly control the darkness at the heart of the Milky Way galaxy, he would perform his experiments at the core of another. Epsilon had long
Sample complete. Ready to continue?